Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
And Porcello deals home. There's a swing and a fly ball slicing down the right field line and deep. This one going to the corner, and that ball is in the seats and gone. Upton has a three-run homer down the right field line, and for the second straight night, the Angels break out to a 3-0 lead.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Angels.
He swings it, drives one to left. There's his first home run at Fenway. Wow, over everything. Mike Trout. His 104th plate appearance at Fenway Park goes deep for the first time, and it is 5-1 Angels. Wow.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
This is the Red Sox Review I got asked to do. I haven't done this in 3 months. And yeah, thanks, guys. A 12-4 loss. Red Sox taken behind the old woodshed. Anybody know where the woodshed is? I don't really know that. But anyway, we'll talk about it. Happy to hear your venting. 617-779-7937. This is Josh Lewin. It was nice to hear Mario Mpemba and Joe Castig on the call today. At least they gave it some fun flavor. But not a lot of fun on the scoreboard. Obviously, you lose by 8 to a team that had lost 8 straight. Game that took 3-28 and just wasn't really all that interesting, unless you're an Angels fan. The Red Sox had some opportunities. They left 11 on base. I said at the beginning of the homestand, anyone who might have been interested in this, not a lot of people are interested in what I have to say, but for those that do have an ear out for that, I said if you go 6-1 on this homestand, that's about right. You really should. At some point when you're playing weaker sisters, you should have a 6 out of 7 homestand. You're due for one of those. And I really thought it was shaping up to be that. You know, they took care of business against Kansas City right away, first game of that series, but then kind of split their pants and embarrassed themselves in game two of that series. Game three of that series, we don't know what happened because that was a suspended game. We won't know what's going to happen for another couple weeks. All right, so then you get the Angels coming in, and they've been a very bad team of late, and you rock them a couple times. You're thinking, all right, here we go. And then today, where there was just a terrible, ugly seventh inning. I mean, just avert your eyes kind of stuff. And what was a gettable game, I still thought, got well beyond where you could go back and get it. 12-4 ended up being the final. So now the best they can do on this homestand, which I really thought would be a 6-1 homestand, the best you can hope for is 4-2-1. 4-2 with the TBA. Andrew Cashner tomorrow has got to get that fourth win before they hit the road for just a little bit. All they're doing is going to Cleveland, and that all of a sudden is shaping up as a very big series. Very disappointing because the Angels and the Royals combined in August. Well, they're 2-3 against Boston. They're 0-10 against everybody else, just to kind of put it in perspective. Quick review of the game before we get to your phone calls, just in case you were away from the carnage today. Well, it started out with a home run from Justin Upton, 3-run shot in the first. Porcello then found his stride, set down 14 in a row. Then, just as quickly, he became unglued, gave up a 2-run home run to Trout, first home run he had ever hit at Fenway, and the Sox found themselves down 5-2, then 6-2, and then it just got really, really bad after that. It was 12-2. They got back to within 12-4, and that's where it all stopped. So, what does that all mean? It means you have to watch the scoreboard again. Indians and Twins are scoreless in the first. They finally have gotten that game underway in rainy Minneapolis. The Yankees lost today, although if we're really still watching the Yankees, that's kind of a fool's errand, isn't it? I mean, they're not catching the Yankees. You want them to catch the A's or the Rays and or the Indians or Twins. The A's, at last check, I want to update this, make sure that we've got the absolute latest here. It is 2-0 Chicago White Sox now, thank you. Over the A's in the seventh inning now. Rays will be at Seattle later on. 617-779-7937. That's the number to call. And let's go to the phones here. Hope is in California. And I mean that in every sense of the phrase. Hope is in California. Hi, Hope.
No, Hope isn't in California. I am, but Hope isn't, that's for sure. I was just going to say, I grew up in Boston, and Boston's in my blood, and I'm not able to enjoy, I'm not even able to enjoy Mike Trout at this point. I have tickets to the three games that are at the end of this month in Anaheim when the Red Sox come to town. And I bought them way back in April when I, thought there was hope. And Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game, three games, that's for sure. I don't know. I've thought for a long time now. They're not even going to make the postseason, the Red Sox, I mean.
Hope right now. And it's funny that someone named Hope would be so cynical, but I get it. 62 and 57 puts them six games out. Well, and I will say this, and I'll wave at you from the booth because I got that series in Anaheim as well. So we'll find each other and we'll at least say, come on, guys. But you're right. Okay, well, all due respect, Hope, you won't be the only one. You're going to have to give me a little bit more to go on at that point. But it's always fun to go to. That's a great stadium. It's a fun time, and It really is, and I don't mean to minimize it. Oh boy, looks like it won't mean anything at that point. Blah blah blah. I still think it might. I mean, because here's the schedule coming up. But once you get done with these Angels now, which is the game tomorrow, then you got your Cleveland thing happening. You got Baltimore at home, and I'm sorry. I mean that's such a gimme putt. Really should be anyway. And then you've got Philly for two at home. You're at Colorado, you're at San Diego, and then you're at the Angels. This is the softest part of the schedule you're going to have in a long time. If you can make up, three games, if you can get it down to, instead of six games out, you're three games out by the time you're showing up on September 1st or August 31st, whenever your tickets are, you're still going to have a shot at that point. It's not over, it just doesn't look real good.
Yes, but this tremendous offense also today, they left 11 men on today.
I'm aware. 11 men. I know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, you're waiting for that.
Just amazing.
You're waiting for that big two-out hit, and it just never came. Hope, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate you very much.
Thank
and hopefully
have
you'll
a good one.
You
see
bet.
You in Anaheim.
Thank you.
Yep,
you got it. Thank you. It's funny. Actually, of all things, they had a rainout in Anaheim this year. And some of you might know my off-season home, if you will, is a little north of San Diego. I put my son on an Amtrak train. He had never been to that beautiful stadium. I said, go on up and enjoy the game. Here, I'll get you a couple tickets. Go and take a friend and head on up. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Well, it wasn't even a rainout. It had rained for like an hour and a half at 2 o'clock. They didn't know where the tarp was because it really doesn't rain that much in Southern California, as you might know. So They basically had a wet grounds out in that one, and nothing to worry about for when the Red Sox play there. It hasn't rained a drop in California in like a month now. But anyway, that's how the season's gone for the Angels. I mean, they had to rain out a game when it wasn't really even raining within hours of when first pitch was. And, of course, they've had the tragedy, too, with Tyler Skaggs. They've had all kinds of injuries, so a tough year, tough team. Good manager. I like Brad Ausmus. He's a native New Englander, New Haven, Connecticut native, and a Dartmouth grad, so I wish him well starting Monday. Red Sox really do need this game coming up. Let's go to the phones again. Harold is in Hanover and appreciate him calling. It's not Hanover, New Hampshire, is it?
No, Hanover, Mass.
I was going to say, if we're talking Dartmouth, that's kind of a timely call. But welcome to the program, Harold. Appreciate it. What you got?
Well, I wanted to welcome you to Boston and think you're doing a really good job. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. It's a thrill to be here, believe it. There's great people to work with, and last year would have been preferable, but you don't get to pick your year. So, but I appreciate the kind words.
A little more challenging, but I like your style because you tend to go into statistics and analytics and details a lot, which I tend to favor. I really like that. You have a great mind for memorabilia and details and facts and, very entertaining.
Nice of you to say. Thank you, buddy. And now I got to throw this at you then, since it is National Baseball Card Day today, which you probably already knew. I didn't know that. I saw it on the interwebs, and there it was. So it's National Baseball Card Day. I'm putting you on the spot, but since you're a collectibles guy, I've got my own thought on this. Do you have a favorite, whether it's a Red Sox baseball card of all time, because I know I do, or just a favorite baseball card in general, because I got one of those too. I wasn't thinking about that at all until I saw that it was such a thing as National Baseball Card Day. But anything jumped to mind? I'll give you mine if you don't.
Yeah, I want to hear yours. Would it have to be a card that I actually own?
No, it doesn't have to be one that you own. Just like one that if you see it, you're like, yeah, that takes me back. I like that.
That I really, Carl Erskine.
Boy, you do go back a ways.
Well, I'm a historian of baseball, and yeah, I love the Brooklyn Dodgers.
That's cool. All right.
His card is something about his card. You know, a lot of cards aren't just the name and they aren't just the picture. It's the quality of the typography, the color, the fading, the, you know what I mean?
I couldn't agree with you more.
The emotional impact. And I just saw a particular version. I'm not even sure it was a Topps brand or what it was, but I just saw it and it struck me as an archetypal 50s card, and I just always loved Carl Erskine. And what's yours?
Well, and you know what? You're exactly right. I mean, all those things are like 2x4 little mini works of art when they're done right.
There you go. Yeah.
My favorite Red Sox one is the Fred Lynn, where he's got the bat on his shoulder, he's got the big smile, and it's got the Topps Rookie of the Year, like little golden bowl down in the bottom right corner.
I think I remember that. Yeah, that was a great one. Yeah,
it's like a yellow stripe over the red Sox. And so I've always loved that, because Fred Lynn was probably my favorite Red Sox when I was a little kid. And who doesn't love, if you're like me and a bit of a rascal, who doesn't love the Billy Ripken Fleer card? You know, the one that had the bad words on the bottom of the knob. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I actually owned it. And
Fred Lynn, he was one of the first baseball rock stars. I mean, he had it all going for him. You know what I mean?
I've heard Jerry Remy say, and I agree, that had Fred Lynn spent his entire career in Boston, he would have been a Hall of Famer. Because you think about how perfect he was for that ballpark, and how much the city was into him.
Do you remember the reason they traded him, or what the deal with that was? It a contract problem, or what was the deal with that?
Yeah, I don't remember the particular. It was a little bit before my time to be into that kind of stuff. I mean, I was like 7 when Fred Lynn came along. But the looping left-handed swing and the reckless diving catches, and I've said this on the broadcast too, that if you're old enough to remember the opening credits of This Week in Baseball, the last two vignettes were a Fred Lynn diving catch and that thing where Pete Rose was going head first into third. And that always stuck with me. I just thought that was great that Fred Lynn kind of made it. You know, it was like the penultimate shot on This Week in Baseball. But, hey, anyway, I really appreciate the phone call, Bud, and thanks for the kind words, too. Sorry the Sox didn't win today. That's Harold in Hanover. Appreciate him very much. And if you want to chime in, 617-779-7937, maybe it's a way to kind of take our mind off of the fact they lost by 8 runs today. I don't know that I didn't think about it until somebody said it was National Baseball Card Day. And I don't mean to get off on some Dennis Miller-style rant. I don't mean to sound like a curmudgeon. But I don't put any stock in this National Whatever Day stuff, because there's like 4 of them a day every day. National Cupcake Day, National Play-Doh Day, National Bottled Water Day, National Clock Day. I mean, whatever it is, there's a day for it. And, okay, if you want to call today National Baseball Card Day, fine, because that takes us away from the fact that the Red Sox got whomped on today. But if you're of a certain age, I think the very same year, or maybe it was a year off, but there's our good friend Dick Pohl, who might even be listening right now. He's like staring off into space. He's got that thin little mustache and a look on his face that's like, yeah, my name is Dick Pohl. You want to, like, mess with me? I know my name's Dick Pohl, so what? There's one of Wade Boggs that's, I'm pretty sure it's a Topps card. Yeah, it is a Topps card. That he's out on his front foot with a really awkward swing, and you're sure that that was still a base hit anyway. And like our caller was just saying, Harold from Hanover, it's like every one of those little pieces of cardboard tells a story if they're done right. And sometimes the story's a little funny, sometimes it's a little off, like the Billy Ripken card. But most of the time, it's just, you know, it's well-framed, it's well-done. I like the ones that used to be posed. They had, like, Mike Andrews with the ball, like, cocked behind his right ear, just, like, you know, again, staring off into space. So if you happen to have one that pops to mind, just a card that when you see it, I'm not talking about, do you have, like, a Mickey Mantle rookie year card and you made, like, a gazillion dollars off it. I'm talking about just, it could be a random player. Biggest random player for me, I don't know why at the age of six I knew to do this, but you know, I was kind of being pumped up by relatives that, hey, baseball cards are kind of a big thing. And back then they were. I mean, if you grew up in the mid-70s, there was no internet. You know, you're not keeping track of stuff other than in newspapers and in collectibles fashion. And, you know, things like the radio, which some of you still listen to, which we appreciate. And I just remember I had family members coaching me. Okay, you know, baseball card sets are coming out soon. This is going to be a big moment for you. You know, you're going to buy your first set of baseball cards. We're going to take you down to Neisner's, and we're going to buy you some baseball cards. So it's like this big buildup, I think, is what really sold it. And by the time, I don't know if it was a week or a month or whatever, but here it was, ripping open that pack of 1976s. And Buzz Capra was my very first baseball card. I think I just knew that there was supposed to be pomp and circumstance, like you never forget your first kind of thing. So I'll always remember Buzz Capra as an Atlanta Brave as the very first baseball card I ever owned. Not for nothing. I'm sure you've all got your own weird story. But anyway, I'm only talking about this because the Red Sox lost today 12-4, and I'd rather talk about other things. Michael in Brookline is next on Red Sox Review. Michael, thanks for jumping in with us here.
Yeah, how are you?
Good.
I was actually talking to Freddie Lynn Thursday night. He was at, he's been at the ballpark, and I was talking to him and his wife, and I was telling him that one of my baseball regrets is that he couldn't stay healthy. Because I appreciate great athletes, regardless of who they play for. And we brought up, he and I brought up Bo Jackson and, you know, how his career got cut short in two sports. And so I said to Freddie, you know, we were talking about it, and I said, it's just one of my baseball regrets that you couldn't have stayed healthy. And his wife chimed in with, yeah, he dove for the ball too many times. And I said to her, no, the problem wasn't that he dove for the ball. The problem was that he dove into the wall for the ball.
Right.
And that's basically.
To this day,
that's cut it short.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, and the reason why the walls are padded now at Fenway, where they're padded, is basically because Fred Lynn used to do that, was just kamikazeing into that center field wall all the time. And I didn't realize this until I pulled up the stats, because, and obviously this dovetails nicely because we were just talking about the Angels a bit, and that is where we moved on to, just like how Mo Vaughn moved on to the then California Angels too. And people will, I think they'll forget, because I forgot this till I looked it up. He actually ended his career in San Diego. He was playing for the Padres.
He was with Baltimore.
Yeah, and the Tigers for a year or two. But before, you know, I mean, he was a guy that in his, what should have been his prime, was like a 500 at-bat a year guy at best, and not a 600 at-bat a year guy at best. And in fact, he never had a 600 at-bat season. He had 1 year where he got up 600 times, but that was, you know, including walks. And I'm looking at the consistency here, 1982 through 1987. This was with the Angels and with the Orioles. Home run totals for Fred Lynn, 21, 22, 23, 23, 23, 23. That's really tough to do.
Consistency, yeah. It's funny, because I was also looking up his career stats because I was talking to somebody about the fact that we were talking. And to me, the most shocking statistic about Fred Lynn, look how many years he played. How many years do you think he played? Off the top of your head, real quick.
I would have guessed 12, but I'm looking it up. It's 17.
17. That was, to me, the most shocking of his statistics. Okay? Of course, the most shocking statistic in the history of baseball is how few times Joe DiMaggio struck out.
Well, yeah, don't get me started on that this year, because everybody is striking out a million and a half times.
I'm not even talking about this year or the last few years. You look at how many at-bats he had and how few times he struck out. It is mind-boggling.
Yeah, even back then, because, I mean, you know, back then, like, you know, a 40 or 50 strikeout season was about right. I mean, that's like par for the course, and like the really bad guys who were just gripping and ripping were 80 or 90 strikeouts. But you're talking about a guy who in his mid-30s, I mean, like when he was kind of coming down the other side of the mountain, he had a season of, I think it was 18 strikeouts against 55 walks or something like that. And when he was in his prime, if I remember this right, I'm looking it up right now. Hang on. 76 walks against 13 strikeouts. It's just stupid. 76 walks against 13 strikeouts, and he played every day?
Look at his career strikeouts and his career at-bats. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, I'll leave you with this one because I like stuff like this, too. I like doing the deep dives. Until his last year, until his very last season, talking about Joe DiMaggio, he had more home runs than strikeouts. And finally, that got overtaken the last year. But that'll never happen again. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it will if somebody hits one home run and retires.
Well, yeah, you got me there. But... All right. Hey, Mike, I appreciate the call, bud. Good stuff. Real good
All
stuff.
Right,
thanks. And, yeah, anytime you get me talking Fred Lynn, that puts me in a better mood. And Joe DiMaggio, of course, you know, before my time. Dom DiMaggio before my time. But if you want an interesting nugget, if you want to win a nickel from your buddy at the bar or whatever, that's the guy who's got the all-time hitting streak for the Red Sox is Dom DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio, obviously, for the Yankees, set the all-time record with 56. Nobody ever had more than Dom DiMaggio in a single season for the Red Sox. And now you know. 617-779-7937. That's our phone number. Looking forward to getting back to you in just a moment or two. We'll update the scoreboard for you. Some other finals are starting to come on in. Yankees have already lost. The Red Sox, though, lost badly today. Again, that final was 12-4. Josh Lewin with you on Red Sox Review. We've got what's trending coming up here.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Wait, there's a shot to left field. Travis coming in toward the line, and he can't get it. He gets by him and rolls to the scoreboard as he tried to slap at it, and two runs will cross the plate. Throw to the plate is high as both runs score, and into second, with probably a single and an error, is Fletcher, and it is now 12-2.
Yeah, that was the official time of death of this one today, as the final ended up being 12-4. Josh Lewin with you. On Red Sox Review, at least until the top of the hour, 617-779-7937. If you'd like to vent, like to share. Mentioned in passing, although this has now become kind of a cool topic, it is National Baseball Card Day. Just the random whatever day it is today. I'm sure tomorrow's National Marshmallow Day or something like that. But Baseball Card Day today. So if you have a favorite Red Sox card from the past that every time you see it, it makes you smile, would love to hear what that is. Anything to distract us from a 12-4 loss today to a team that had lost 8 in a row. We're going to hear from Rick Porcello during this segment. Obviously, he was hoping for a little bit better today. There was a stretch in there where he retired 14 straight, but the bread in that sandwich, moldy, because on the outside of the meat of the 14 straight, you had a home run allowed to Justin Upton, 3-run shot. Home run allowed to Mike Trout, 2-run shot. And, well, now you'll look at his box score line. You're going to see 5 innings and 5 runs allowed. It looked like nothing happened. Cole Calhoun scored 3 runs today. Trout scored 2. Otani scored 2. So the top 3 men in their order, 7 runs scored. And if you go Trout, Otani, Upton, 2, 3, 4 in their order, 9 runs batted in. So the Angels had a breakout day at the Red Sox expense. Boston now 62-57. For the moment, 6 games out of the playoffs, which we really did not think was a thing, but it is. Let's go back to the phone, 617-779-7937. First up from Connecticut, we are told, is Scott. Scott, welcome to the program. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. I'm sorry, none of these are going to be Red Sox cards, but I'll be very quick. I'm pretty sure
That's right.
The first one is 1968 Tops. All the pictures are done inside of a TV screen.
Oh, I love those, yeah.
And the Pete Rose is a very, very young Pete Rose. He looks like Popeye.
All right. Is that it's kind of the old Reds hat, too, right? It's like the white hat with the red brim, if I remember that card right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then there's another one that I have. It's called Ted Shows How, from when he was a coach with the Senators. And the card is him giving this kid some hitting tips. And all I can say was, my God, this poor kid.
I can't picture that one, but all right. And then I'll take your word for it. Ted Shows How. Wow.
Ted Shows How or Ted Teaches How, something like that. And then there's another one where it's his name, Joe Youngblood, played for two different teams in the same day.
Yeah, we just had the anniversary of that just a few days ago, if I recall.
I have the card for it. And real quick on the Red Sox. That's cool. I'm so fed up. The day that we make up that inning, what is it, the 22nd?
Yes.
Something like that? Starts at 1?
Right.
Okay, if I'm Alex Cora, I tell everybody, all right, guys, be here at 6:30. There's no use in taking infield or batting practice or anything like that. So you're all going to sit down, and you're going to watch the entire game like the rest of us had to. Make us sit there and watch 5 hours of crappy baseball.
Well, and I'll leave you with this, and I appreciate the phone call very much, if not the snark. The you know, when they had to redo the Royals-Yankees game all those years ago, the fabled Pine Tar game, George Brett had already been ejected, famously, right? Because he came out like a banshee from the dugout and just lost his fool mind. He actually watched that game from a restaurant in Teaneck, New Jersey, because they were going to be flying out of Teterboro as soon as the game was restarted and done. If I remember right, I think it took them something like 13 minutes to go ahead and replay that game. So there is precedent for the Kansas City Royals flying east just to make up basically one inning, and that's what this thing is, too. Difference is this one is tied, so it could march on for a very long time. They could get a full 9 innings out of this. Who knows? Could also be 9 minutes. And either way, both teams have to just turn around and get on an airplane after that. The Red Sox, you know, this is or was supposed to be their day off in San Diego, and not the way they've played this year. They all deserve a day off in San Diego. But follow me on this for a second. I mean, you're talking about a team, any baseball team, they're going to have a stretch where they play 44 games in 45 days. And I'm sorry, anybody that doesn't say that's a grind, oh, they're getting paid to play ball, who, you know, that's a grind. And you look at those off days like they're gold. And if you're traveling on an off day, that doesn't really count. I mean, you're still getting up and packing and, you know, getting on a plane and off a plane and stuck in traffic. Doesn't really feel like an off day. That was supposed to be a true day off. You wake up in San Diego, the sun is shining, you can go do whatever you want. You can go to the beach, you can go get yourself a fish taco, you can go to a museum, go to Tijuana, whatever you want to do. You've got one day out of 6 weeks, which is just all your own, and it's in Sandy freaking Ego, where you can just really, you know, this season's been brutal. Let me just enjoy this one day. Let me clear my head. Nope. That's not happening anymore. They got to stay and play 9 minutes or however long it's going to be to finish up. 617-779-7937. Let me sneak in one more phone call before we get to the Rick Porcello sound that I really do want to play for you. Steve is in Reading after a 12-4 loss. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Hanging in.
Remember from my childhood, not so much the players, but the cards we were getting back in the 70s. And I can't remember the names. It was Tops, but on the back of the card, they had that little baseball game. Single, double, triple, out, out.
Oh, yeah.
So forth.
Right.
And we used to just play that. That was the most cards I've ever bought in my life. I forget if it was late 70s, early 80s, somewhere in there.
It was a little bit, if I remember right, and I'm no expert on this at all. I'm just going from my own childhood. But it was pretty much after they started phasing out the fun facts. You know, like George likes to fish, or Dave likes cars, or, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff. And I, you know, when you're like 7, 8 years old, that stuff was so, I mean, these days we get all this insight. We feel like we know everything about Mookie Betts, and we know everything about Rafi Devers. And back then, if you got Steve likes to read in his spare time, that's like, wow, that's really cool that I know that about Steve.
Yeah, I just remember we had to go buy those cards. They were a nickel a dime back then for a pack of cards just so we could load up our home runs, and it was like a big card game.
Yeah, no, I do remember that. That's a good memory you got.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And Freddie Lynn, when he was the California Angels, did he not hit the first Grand Slam in the All-Star Game history?
In the All-Star Game, he did. Yep, that was among his claims to fame. And as we were talking about last segment, if he had stayed healthy, you know, he's one of those guys. And I got to know Bobby Valentine a little bit, not, you know, obviously not as a Red Sox manager, but through my work in the media that I've done. And everybody says that you know, that kind of charisma, that kind of, you know, that's another story of, oh, if only that guy had stayed healthy. But Fred Lynn accomplished so much more on the field than Bobby V ever did. It's not even funny.
And my favorite card was Butch Hobson, because he was the guy that used to dive into the dugouts and did Freddie Lynn at the third base side what Freddie Lynn did in center field.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to put that. And I appreciate the phone call, Steve. Good stuff right there. And you know, Butch Hobson, we're going to talk about him. I would predict around September 15th you'll hear his name a lot, because as soon as Rafi Devers is sitting on 30 home runs, we're going to talk about Devers being potentially the first ever Red Sox third baseman to have more than 30 home runs in a season. Butch had 30 in a season, never had more than 30. That's an incredible stat to me. For as long as the Red Sox have been around, they've never had a third baseman hit more than 30 in a season. Devers is going to do it this year. And the fact that he had no home runs as of May 3rd, and he's still going to do it this year, I just think that's kind of crazy good. All right, we're going to get to some more phone calls. I do want to play some Rick Porcello's sound, though, because I am interested in hearing what he sounded like after today. Five runs allowed in the five innings. ERA jumps up to 5.67. Very weird day, as we mentioned, because he had the run of 14 straight, retired at one point, but he also gave up the two long home runs. So here's Porcello talking to the media after the game.
Getting ahead of guys, first at bat to Calhoun, I just fell behind, left the fastball over the plate, punched for a single, and then the Ohtani at bat, actually, I was in a pretty good situation there. I just curveballs a little up, slicing the gap, and then pitched to Upton's fastball up and away off the plate, and pokes it out, good swing. Other than that, though, pitches were working, the action was fine. Sixth inning, throw three pitches, give up two runs, and it's tough. I got to be better. The Trout at bat, obviously, is one pitch, and guys got 38 home runs for a reason. Jumped me on the first pitch fastball, is right down the middle, and that was the end of the day. In between there, we were getting quick outs, we were mixing pitches, rolling along just fine, and it happened quick there in the sixth. That's it.
When it's 3-1, you must be thinking, your offense is going to do enough to get your bite where you need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell yeah. I mean, even at 5-1, we got a ton of confidence in our offense to come back. It's not a situation that you want to put our team in, obviously, but the point is, I have the utmost confidence in our offense to come back from just about any deficit. As far as it goes for me, yeah, we're in a controllable ball game at 3-1 going into the sixth inning, and I had back-to-back slip-ups, and that ended up costing us and really spread the game out and put us in a tough spot.
In this recent stretch of giving up home runs in, I think it's eight straight games now, what trends or similarities do you see, if any?
Pitches that are not well executed, that's the biggest thing. Just giving guys the opportunity to get the barrel of the ball. Everybody's hitting homers now, and you got to be precise and efficient with everything that you throw, because it's damage when you're in the middle part of the plate.
Rick, when you look back to the second Trout at bat versus the third, and the pitch you executed on the second at bat, is that what you're trying to do there also?
Yeah, 100%. Whether he swings at it or not, I'm trying to drive that fastball in off the plate, create some space, make him aware of pitches in, and then maybe get to some other stuff. And honestly, the worst part about it is I was the best hitter, and that was the worst pitch I threw the entire day, and that's what happened.
Well, that's a very honest Rick Porcello breaking it down, as he now has a 5.67 ERA for the year. Only worse ERAs ever in Red Sox history from guys that have given you at least 24 starts in a season. Ramon Martinez in the year 2000. He was pretty much on his way out of baseball then. And John Lackey in 2011, and I said this earlier, John Lackey from a 6.41 in 2011 to a World Series hero in 2013, and not a dissimilar age range. We're talking about Porcello being 30 years old right now. Anyway, 617-779-7937, the phone number, Red Sox Review, Josh Lewin filling in as your host. 12-4, the unfortunate final today. The Red Sox just cannot sustain momentum, and the Angels, who had dropped eight straight, get themselves an eight-run victory. Let's sneak in another phone call before we got to take a quick timeout. Mike is in Medford, I think is still on the line. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, Josh. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling, bud. What's up?
So I just want to tell a little story about the first time I got really what I considered my first real valuable baseball card, or what I at least assumed to be at the time. So I was like 2009, okay. Going to the Hall of Fame for the first time, big thing off, obviously. Times were a lot simpler. I showed up in a John Lester jersey. I remember everything about the day, but I went to this one card shop. I'm pretty sure it's closed now. Went in, looked around, found the guy was selling $10 big boxes of 36 packs apiece. I grabbed a 1991 Topps box. Ripped it open, like, oh, maybe we'll get something good. The guy, like, had all the names of whatever rookies that were listed that year, and going through the packs, and I pull out this one card, and it was Chipper Jones, and the top right had its, like, first overall draft pick or whatever, and just looking at him and seeing Chipper Jones being able to play every day with his big, like, manly, muscular build, and then looking right at this card and seeing this tiny little baby-faced player was just sort of, like, weird to me to think, like, you know, like, oh, hey, players don't look the same, you know, when they're younger. But I just remember getting that card and doing a ton of research on it, going home, and I went online and looked it up, and I was like, wow, this card sells for $3,000, not knowing it was a base version and not one of the missed error cards.
Well, and I just remember, for a minute, you were probably real, real happy with that, yeah.
Oh, tell me about it. Opened it up, freaking freaked out, ran up and down Main Street, throwing it off. Felt great. Tried to sell it back to the guy, and I was like, "Oh yeah, can I get like, you know, $1,000 for this?" And he looked at me and laughed. And I just
it's like getting one of those fake lotto scratch off things where, like, you know, they're all tricked up to make it look like you won like $20,000, and then it turns out it's completely bogus. So yeah,
exactly.
That stinks, right?
But
all right, well, not a great memory, but that's at least something. Oh, we lost him. All right, thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate that. And I do have to mention this before we take a quick break. I looked up during the last break. I think it was Mike from Brookline had called in about the Ted Shows How baseball card, Ted Williams, back when he was managing the Washington Senators. And this is way before my time. This is I looked it up, a 1969 Topps card. Mike Epstein is the guy he's showing, I don't know, something. But first of all, the look on Mike Epstein's face is like, really? Really? And what it looks like Ted Williams is showing him how to do is choke up like 5 inches on the bat, which makes no sense. Mike Epstein was a power hitter. And I can't imagine Ted Williams was telling Mike Epstein, I want you to swing it like Felix Mian. I don't think that, but it's a card. It absolutely exists. I'm looking at it on the interwebs right now. All right, we're going to let you hear from Alex Cora in just a moment, get his breakdown on what went horribly wrong earlier today. 12-4 was the final. Run through the scoreboard for you again, too. We'll see if anybody besides the Yankees and the Red Sox of note actually lost as well today. But 12-4, Angels was the final at Fenway. This is Red Sox Review. We're back in just a moment.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Oh, it's very hard. You know, I mean, we have daily conversations. I know how hard he works. You know, it's just, he's a guy that, even like I told you the last time, you know, he pitched well and he was still looking for stuff and trying to get better. Just a few pitches that he didn't execute today, you know, they went out of the ballpark. But, you know, we'll keep working, we'll keep going. I mean, there were some positives, but obviously at the end we need results, you know, as a team. And, you know, they scored five in 5 innings, and that's why we had to go to the bullpen.
Well, that was about Rick Porcello from Alex Cora, and that was part of the storyline today. Of course, the bullpen was pretty brutal after that. A 12-4 loss to the Angels, so now the Red Sox are 62-57. From the files of it, could always be worse. Well, the Orioles were down 20-1 at home. They have scratched back and made it a 20-2 game, but now it's one of those Stevie Wilkerson alerts, and indeed he has just taken the mound. Remember that happened against the Red Sox, too, where they asked him to go 2 innings. That might be happening again. 20-2, And somehow Martin Maldonado is 0 for 5 for the Astros. Everybody else has done something of note. And in fact, I'm counting it up here. 8 different Astros have at least 2 hits. Bregman is 3 for 3 with 3 runs scored, 3 runs batted in. Alvarez has 5 runs batted in. Gurriel has 4 hits. So, yeah, 20-2 Astros there. And the Cubs are losing in Cincinnati 10-0 after 6. So not everybody is having a great day. The Yankees did not have a good day. They lost to Toronto 5-4. Keeping an eye on some other scores, obviously, Cleveland and Minnesota now actually battling for the very top spot in the AL Central. The Indians have come from way, way back to make that a race in that division. They are scoreless in the third. And the White Sox are helping out. They're beating the A's 3-0. And this is the weekend that Bill Walton, by the way, is going to be doing color commentary on White Sox television. Jason Benetti invited him. Jason's the guy, if you heard it on WEEI maybe a month and a half ago when the White Sox were in town, did the fake Sean McDonough for us. It was brilliant. But yeah, Bill Walton, former Celtics great, will be trying his hand at baseball color commentary. The Jose Abreu 2 hits have helped. The White Sox lead it 3-0 in the 8th inning. Ronaldo Lopez has been on the mound against Tanner Roark, so you're rooting for the White Sox over the A's, if indeed you're rooting for the Red Sox to get back in the race. The Mets, meantime, just keep on doing their thing. 15 out of 16, they rallied again. They got 2 in the bottom of the 8th this time. They beat the Nationals. They're almost even with the Nationals now in the standings. And they are a wild card team as of this moment. The Red Sox, of course, not so much, as they lose 12-4. 12-11-2 for the Angels, who had lost 8 straight. 4-9-1. That was the count for the Red Sox. Porcello, the losing pitcher, he's been Mr. Run Support of late. Wasn't quite enough run support today, obviously, in a game that took 3 hours and 28 minutes to play. And a couple other scores, just to see if I can get them updated before we got to get out of here. Got a couple minutes before we get ready for CBS Sports Radio. And let's see if it's still, 20-2 still. Houston's on top. I think they're going to win that game. Brewers over the Rangers 3-2. Texas is on the periphery of that wild card chase right now. That game's in the 8th inning in Milwaukee. Rockies and Padres are tied 2-2 at the end of 4. Those are 2 teams in a row that the Red Sox will face on the road in a couple of weeks. Mentioned the Yankees lost today. The Giants with Mike Yastrzemski helping out. A 3-1 win over the Phillies. Royals all over the Tigers 7-0. Marlins beat the Braves 7-6. And the one that you really care about, that's the one that hurt quite a bit today. 12-4, the Angels take it. So there will not be a 4-game sweep. That is really tough to do anyway. A chance to make it 3 out of 4, though, when tomorrow on WEEI 105 First Pitch, Andrew Cashner takes the mound against the lefty Patrick Sandoval. Thanks to Nick producing this thing tonight. Appreciate you guys for staying up and listening. CBS Sports Radio coming up next. This is Josh Lewin. Appreciate you very much. Red Sox review after a 12-4 loss to the Halos. Bye-bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.